8:55 Eastern Daylight Time, and Columbia and its affiliate stations bring you the nightly broadcast of Elmer Davis and the news.
The Inter-American Conference was welcomed to Havana today by President Laredo Brew of Cuba, who said that the American nations must become trustees for the remainder of a betrayed civilization and should stand together for protective preparedness and defense of their common rights. Tomorrow, Secretary Hull will address the first plenary session of the conference, a speech that will be on the air shortly after 5 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And according to a forecast tonight by our correspondent Albert Warner, he will make three proposals which are already being discussed in private meetings of the leaders. The first of these is a joint stand against transfer of any American dependency of a European power to another European power. Mr. Warner reports there will probably be an agreement in principle on this, and apparently the administration will be satisfied to leave it that way, since the details might be troublesome and the United States would act to enforce this interpretation of the Monroe Doctrine anyhow. The second proposal deals with hemisphere economics, and here it is reported that the plan for a Pan-American export agency has been shelved, at least for the moment, and that there will be no objection to any individual nation dealing with Europe, provided there are no political strings attached to the transaction. Since this proviso contradicts the basic policy of totalitarian trade practice, it may be that the export agency plan will come back. And third, all nations will be asked to take a stand against disruptive propaganda and Trojan horse activities. Congress will reassemble tomorrow after the political conventions with so much business to attend to that it will probably be in session all summer and possibly most of the fall as well. The Senate Military Affairs Committee may report out the selective compulsory military training bill this week, and there's prospect of quite a debate on that. John L. Lewis wrote tonight to all members of the CIO Executive Board insisting that all industries which get defense contracts should be compelled to comply with the National Labor Relations Act. Legislation to require this has several times passed the Senate in the past but has been killed in the House. And Lewis has written to the President and to Sidney Hillman of the Advisory Defense Commission urging them to require it by executive order. In Europe, three more small nations went off the map today when the new parliaments of the Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, voted unanimously to join the Soviet Union. These parliaments were chosen last week in an election at which the communists put up the only ticket, and the three countries have been occupied in force by the Russian army for weeks past, so today's action was not unexpected. According to German reports, the communists in Latvia have arrested former ministers, government officials, bankers, and industrialists, charging them with embezzlement, bribery, and sabotage. Alfred Bilmanis, Latvian minister in Washington, said that he would not surrender his legation to the Russians and asked for the same continued recognition that has already been given to the ministers of nations overrun by Hitler. German authorities in Berlin are giving out the impression that they are waiting for the British people to respond to Hitler's speech of last Friday by rising up and overthrowing their government. And both Germans and Italians keep insisting that only the British plutocrats want to continue the war, though the Labour Party is heavily represented in the government, of course, and Labour newspapers were as prompt as any to reject Hitler's talk of peace. Whether the Germans are actually postponing their attack in the hope that the speech will have effect or are merely putting out this story to put the British off guard is not yet clear. But the weather in which an attack across the Channel would be feasible is not likely to last more than 9 or 10 weeks longer, so they can't wait too long. Tonight there were the usual air raids, violent, but still on a far smaller scale than either power could put over if it chose. The Germans attacked in many parts of England, aiming chiefly at harbors and airports. The British countered with attacks on Wilhelmshaven, Bremen, Hamburg, and airfields and oil stations in the Low Countries, Norway, and Denmark. 80 German planes attacking a convoy in the Channel were scattered by half a dozen British planes, according to the British story, but there is no report on what damage, if any, was done to the convoy. The French press is following the German and Italian line, though much less vigorously, in speaking of Hitler's desire for peace and criticizing Churchill. And the newspaper Paris Soir demands what it calls a stern and total solution of the Jewish problem in France. So it looks as if France is gradually being streamlined on the Nazi model. The finance ministry will move back to Paris tomorrow, and the rest of the government hopes to follow soon.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.